The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with the Reader's Digest. The Inspiration section. The teacher who changed my life. Good educators share knowledge. Great ones make an impression that stays in their students' hearts forever. The Surprise Thank You by Karen Buellard. Rarely do teachers know whether they make lasting impressions on students, and finding out they did can be one of the most profound rewards of all. I know because it happened to my mother, a retired teacher, when she turned on NPR one morning. I've been visiting my parents in 2003 when my mom came out of their room with a puzzled look on her face. She'd been listening to the radio and heard an interview with the best-selling author of young adult fantasy novels. The woman's name was Tamora Pierce, the same as a precocious young writer my mom had taught her nearly four decades before. My mother wondered, could this be the same person? Well, I said, probably far too snarkily, the Internet should be able to tell us. I found the author's website quickly. She was a big deal, an enormously popular writer, as New York Times Review put it, of books featuring powerful heroines. I clicked on the biography link to scan for references to Burlingame Junior High, where my mom had worked, and my heart began to flutter when I spotted it at the bottom of the first section. Here was confirmation that my mother had taught a now-famous writer. But my eyes came to a standstill reading the next paragraph, in which Pierce described writing her first fiction as a sixth grader. The next year, I was still scribbling my own stories. My English teacher, bless you, Mrs. Jacobson, introduced me to the Lord of the Rings trilogy by J.R.R. Tolkien, the biography read. I got hooked on fantasy, then on science fiction, and both made their way into my stories. My mother's name was Mary Jacobson. I don't remember my mother's immediate response to this discovery, but I guess it was muted and brought a deeper blush to her naturally rosy cheeks. My mom, who died in 2011, was kind, quietly intelligent, and a dear friend to more people than I'd ever counted as companions. She was also extremely humble, and there's a picture of the woman back in the time she was probably about in the sixth grade. Within days, my dad had checked out all the Tamora Pierce books at the local library, and in one we found another Easter egg, Dasha's book. A 1998 Bible was dedicated to the teachers who shaped my life. Pierce listed four names, and one was Mary Jacobson. This misspelling of our family name was no surprise. It happened all the time. The dedication concluded, a great teacher is above all other treasures. I cherish this story not only because it's a wonderful demonstration of the impact teachers can have without knowing it, but also because it made me see my mom differently. She was just 24 when she taught Pierce, and she introduced her to Tolkien. I was a voracious reader as a child, and I attribute that to hours my mom and I spent reading on my bed together. The first Beatrix Potter's Apple Dappley nursery rhymes, later Jean Craighead George's Julie of the Wolves, but I don't remember her ever mentioning Tolkien. Maybe my mom was simply astute enough to recognize that fantasy wasn't my bag. And maybe she was perceptive enough to know Tolkien was what Pierce needed. In a recent email, Pierce remembered clearly that my mom gave her first book of the trilogy on a Friday, and the second two on the following Monday. She changed my life, Pierce wrote. Tolkien inspired her to write not only what she called high fantasy, she said, but also to write female-centric books with kid heroes. Pierce shared other specific memories. When she wrote a too long short story about Blackbird, my mom suggested that we pick shorter subjects for assignments, but to press on with bigger projects in her spare time. My mom also told her to keep everything she wrote, advice that Pierce, now the author of 31 books and numerous short stories and essays, said she still heeds. My mom emailed Pierce after we found her website in 2003. They each said they often had thought of the other. I was so grateful to be able to tell her at last what she had done for me, because I think my life would have been very different without the books she introduced me to, the critiques she gave my writing, and the way she made it clear that she thought I was someone special, Pierce told me. I was very short on these things in those years, and without her saying so, she gave me the belief in myself. In June 2011, I was living overseas and came home for a few weeks. My mother had been battling ovarian cancer for 5 years, and various cocktails of chemotherapy had become unable to stop its march. Weakened and mostly confined to bed, she received a steady stream of friends smilingly. She was dying, and she was saying goodbye. As part of this wrenching process, she asked me to email Pierce, which she was too weak to do herself. Here is part of what I wrote. I was helping her clean and organize her closet and dress her drawers, and she said it reminded her of how you, as a student, would stay after school to straighten her desk. She was so cute at doing that. She was so concerned at the end of the day, my mom said of you. Tell her how much I appreciated it. My mother was humble, but at the end of life request that I wish Pierce well also showed she was proud. Proud, surprised, and so very delighted to know that she'd made a difference. The List by Helen Marosola. He was in the first third grade class I taught at St. Mary's School in Morris, Minnesota. All 34 of my students were dear to me, but Mart Eklund was one in a million, very neat in appearance with a happy-to-be-alive attitude. He also talked incessantly. I had to remind him repeatedly that talking without permission was not acceptable. What impressed me so much, though, was his sincere response every time. I corrected him for misbehaving. Thank you for correcting me, sister. I don't know what to make of it at first, but before long I became accustomed to hearing it many times a day. One morning I made a novice teacher's mistake. When Mark talked once too often, I told him, if you say one more word, I'm going to tape your mouth shut. It wasn't 10 seconds later when Chuck blurted out, Mark is talking again. But since I had stated the punishment in front of the class, I had to act on it. I remember the scene as if it occurred this morning. I walked to my desk, opened my drawer very deliberately, and took out a roll of masking tape. Without saying a word, I proceeded to Mark's desk, tore off 2 pieces of tape, and made a big X over his mouth. I then returned to the front of the room. As I glanced at Mark to see how he was doing, he winked at me. I started laughing. The class cheered as I walked back to Mark's desk, removed the tape, and shrugged my shoulders. His first words were, thank you for correcting me, sister. And there's a picture of Mark in a private first class uniform in the Army and during the Vietnam War, and a picture of Sister Helen Moyosa. The years flew by, and before I knew it, Mark was in my classroom again, this time for junior high math. Since he had to listen carefully to my instructions, he did not talk as much as in the ninth grade as he had in the third. On Friday, after working hard on a new concept all week, it seemed that the students were frustrated with themselves and edgy with one another. I had to stop this crankiness before it got out of hand. So I asked him to list the names of the other students in the room on 2 sheets of paper, leaving a space between each name. Then I told him to think of the nicest thing they could say about each of their classmates and wrote it down. That took up the remainder of the class. As the students left the room, each one handed me the papers. Mark said, thank you for teaching me, sister. Have a good weekend. That Saturday, I wrote down the name of each student on a separate sheet of paper and listened to what everyone else had said about that individual. On Monday, I gave each student his or her list. Before long, the entire class was smiling. I never knew that I meant anything to anyone, I heard whispered. I didn't know others liked me so much. No one ever mentioned those papers in class again. I never knew if they discussed them after class or with their parents. But it didn't matter. The students were happy with themselves and one another again. Several years later, after I had returned home from a vacation, my parents met me at the airport. As we were driving home, Mother asked me the usual questions about the trip, the weather, my experience in general. There was a light lull in the conversation. Mother gave Dive a Sanders glass and simply said, Dad. My father cleared his throat as he usually did before saying something important. The Eklunds called last night, he began. Really? I said. I hadn't from them in years. I wonder how Mark is. Dad responded quietly. Mark was killed in Vietnam. The funeral is tomorrow, and his parents would like it if you could attend. To this day, I can still point to the exact spot on I-494 where Dad told me about Mark. I had never seen a serviceman in military coffin before. Mark looked so handsome, so mature. All I could think of that moment was, Mark, I would give all the masking tape in the world if only you would talk to me. The church was packed with his friends. The pastor said the usual prayers and the bugler played taps. One by one, those who loved Bark took a last walk by the coffin and sprinkled it with holy water. I was the last to bless the coffin. As I stood there, one of the soldiers who had acted as a pallbearer came up to me. "Were you Mark's math teacher?" I nodded as I continued to stare at the coffin. "Mark talked about you a lot," he said. After the funeral, most of Mark's former classmates headed to Chuck's farmhouse for lunch. Mark's mother and father were there waiting for me. "We want to show you something," his father said, taking a wallet out of his pocket. "They found in this mark when he was killed. We thought you might recognize it." Opening the billfold, he carefully removed two worn pieces of notebook paper that had been taped, folded, and refolded many times. I knew without looking that the papers were the ones on which I had listed all the good things each of Mark's classmates had said about him. "Thank you so much for doing that," Mark's mother said. As you can see, Mark treasured it. Mark's classmates started to gather around us. Charlie smiled rather sheepishly and said, "I still have my list. It's in the top drawer of my desk at home." Chuck's wife said, "Chuck asked me to put it in our wedding album." "I have mine too," Marilyn said. "It's in my diary." Vicky reached into her pocketbook, took out her wallet, and showed her warm and frazzled list to the group. "I carry this with me all the time," she said without batting an eyelash. I think we all saved our lists. That's when I finally sat down and cried. A Secret Savior by Harit Susunian. In 1968, I was a student at the Levon and Sophia Hagopoyan Armenian High School in Beirut. When the time came to register for 10th grade, I went to the principal's office and told the staff my parents could not pay the tuition. Although I was the top student in my class, I was sent home. This was a heartbreaking experience, as I loved being in school and desperately wanted to continue my education. I went home and spent the day helping my father at his tire repair shop. He could barely earn enough to pay the tuition of my two siblings. A very old man saw me in the shop and wondered why I was not in school. I told him I was sent home because of a lack of funding. He offered to help us by calling the principal of another school to ask him to register me tuition-free. Even though the school was far away from my home, I could not pass up the opportunity to continue my education. I took a city bus to downtown Beirut and went to the principal's office. Embarrassed to tell him that I was supposed to get free tuition, I told the principal that arrangement had been made for me to study at a discounted tuition. I was stunned when the principal screamed at me that there was no such thing as a discounted tuition. I immediately turned around and brushed back to my father's tire shop. 3 days later, one of my classmates from Sosia Hakopian came over. Our principal had sent him to tell me that I should come back to school. When I arrived, I told the registrar that I could not pay the tuition. She informed me that my tuition was fully paid and that I should join my classmates. I asked who had paid for my tuition so I could thank that wonderful individual. I was told that the benefactor wanted to remain anonymous. I went to my classroom, but I kept wondering who had given me this golden opportunity. I went back to the principal's office after classes and begged the registrar to disclose the name of the benefactor. Upon my insistence and on the condition that I didn't go and thank the person and risk the registrar's getting fired for breaking confidentiality, she informed that the benefactor was my English teacher, Olivia Balayan. And there's a picture of Olivia Balayan, who taught at Hakobian High School for 25 years. The registrar explained that when the school year started and Mrs. Balayan noticed my desk was empty, she inquired why I was not in school. She was told my parents could not pay the tuition. She then told the principal to deduct her tuition from her salary. The whole year I sat in Miss Balayan's class, thinking about her magnanimous gesture, but able to express my appreciation. A year later, I moved to the United States. I eventually received two master's degrees, one from Columbia University and one from Pepperdine University. I never forgot the kindness and generosity of Mrs. Balayan. Almost 40 years later, I returned to Beirut for the first time to donate $4.5 million from Kirkkorian's Lindsay Foundation to all 28 Armenian schools in Lebanon. Among the schools I visited was my former high school. While handing the principal a donation of several hundred thousand dollars, I advised him to never send any students away for lack of money, because one never knew what one student might become in the future. He or she could be a brilliant doctor, a good diplomat, or someone who ends up working for a billionaire benefactor who would like to make a major donation to school. While in Lebanon, I visited Mrs. Balayan. She had retired from teaching long ago and lived in an apartment by herself outside of Beirut. She was as thrilled to see me as I was to see her. I was finally able to thank her for her generosity all those years ago. But she did not want to hear about it, and hummed to change the subject. I offered to assist her in any way possible, including financial help or special recognition for her many decades of educating young Armenians. She declined all offers. While the story is about Miss Olivia Balian, who passed away in 2017, it is also a testimony that one person can make a great difference in the lives of others. Without her timely assistance giving me the unique opportunity to study English, I probably would never have come to the United States and would not have ended up at the publisher of an English newspaper, the California Courier. I probably would have spent the rest of my life repairing tires at my father's shop in Beirut. His Daily Check-In by Maxie Jones. I started the second semester of 10th grade on February 1, 1978. On February 2nd, when I woke up to go to school, my mother didn't. She had passed away in her sleep during the night. After we laid my mother to rest, I went back to school, but it didn't care much to be there at all. Since it was a new semester, my teachers didn't know me very well. My English teacher, Mr. Goldberg, would ask the class questions and call on people to answer. When he called on me, he'd pretty much be waking me up from wherever my mind would be. I'd say, "Excuse me, what was that?" He'd ask me again, and I'd have the correct answer. One day he asked me to meet him after class. "I don't understand what's going on," he said. "You always seem lost. Your mind is always someplace else during class. But you know all the answers." I told him the reason I came to school every day was because my mother made me. Now that she wasn't here, I didn't really feel the need to go anymore. And there's a picture of Maxie Jones and Fred Goldberg in a 1980 high school yearbook. And then he said, "Well, just do me a favor. I want you to meet me in my office during sixth period." So I met him just to talk. Afterward, he said, "Meet me tomorrow, same time." This went on and on every single day. He had me meet him during his prep period. I would help him grade papers, and we would talk. When open school night came, I went with my sister, who had just graduated from the same school, because I had no one else to go with. My social studies teacher wouldn't talk to her because he thought it was some kind of trick. Mr. Goldberg happened to be outside the room, so he came in and said, "Wait a minute. Talk to her. I'll explain later." In fact, Mr. Goldberg went around to all my classes and talked to all my teachers. He said, "If you have any issues with Maxie Jones, come to me." The next year, he did the same thing. I met with him every day, and he talked to all my teachers about whatever was going on with me. Again, he told them, "If you've got any problems with Maxie, come and talk to me." By the time I graduated from high school, I had never missed a single day of school. At my graduation, Mr. Goldberg told me, "This feels funny. I teach 10th graders, not seniors, so I never come to graduation." "Well, why are you here?" I asked. He replied, "Because I wouldn't miss seeing you graduate for anything in the world." It took me years before I realized what he had done. I graduated from high school in the top 15% of my class. I had a Regents scholarship and a full ride to college. The truth is, I was always academically capable of that. But at 15, having lost my mother, and not really seeing the value of education, I was in line to be a statistic, a high school dropout. I realized that the reason I showed up to school every single day was because somebody there was expecting to see me. That somebody was Mr. Goldberg. And for your information, Maxie Jones is black, Mr. Goldberg is white. Your home. 20 chores you can stop doing. In any list of the same old household to-dos cost you the time, money, and sanity. Here are some you can just skip. Washing your hair every day. It may sound counterintuitive, but if you shampoo too often, you will actually make your hair oilier. Washing strips hair of natural oil so your scalp produces more, and then you have to wash again. Stick to 2 or 3 times a week, says dermatologist Tisiporis Lanehouse, M.D., using a gentle sulfate-free shampoo and conditioner will keep your scalp and hair from drying out too much. Number 2, using a top sheet on your bed. Save time making your bed every morning by skipping the tangle-prone top sheet. Many Europeans sleep directly under a quilted duvet with a cover. So do about 30% of Americans. Just be sure to make time every week to wash any bedding that touches your body. Rinsing dishes. Unless you're waiting days to run the dishwasher, rinsing wastes time and water, Simply scrape off any leftover food and put the dishes right into the dishwasher, urge the experts at Consumer Reports. Searching for lost socks. Now that's funny. You may swear that gremlins take your socks from the laundry, but in fact a single sock can slip into the gap between the washing machine door seal and the drum and get pumped away with the water. Prevent this from happening by washing socks pairs together in a wash bag. I always wonder what happened to those socks. Buying home storage items. You can easily spend hundreds of dollars on special bins, bags, boxes, and other storage containers. But some of the best ways to keep your possessions neat and organized come from repurchasing simple things you already own. Organizing guru Marie Kondo is a fan of using shoeboxes as a drawer divider, for example. Ironing hanger bumps out of the clothes. Those freebie wire hangers from the dry cleaners are notorious for leaving shoulder bumps in tops and creases in pants. Who wants to do all that ironing? Instead, buy better quality velvet or wooden hangers to save time later on. A good bargain choice, according to Wirecutter, a product testing company, is Joy Mangano Huggable Hangers. Each was cost less than a dollar. Return wire hangers to the cleaners so they can be reused and recycled. Tossing moldy bread. The best bread is brought fresh at a bakery and eaten on the day you buy it. But if you don't devour the loaf, you'll want to store the rest in a freezer. It'll last longer, 2 to 3 months per the experts at epicurious.com, and makes much better toast, according to the New York Times. That's interesting, because I've also heard things that if you put it in the freezer, it'll dehydrate and the bread will dry out quicker. So I don't know, who knows what. Number 8, opening the curtains wide every morning. Letting the sunshine in is a lovely way to greet the day. But if you're leaving the house and not returning until after dark, all those rays can fade your furniture and make your air conditioner work harder. South and west vaping rooms are especially sun prone, so try leaving those curtains or shades drawn. Also consider running an air conditioner only when you're home or setting it at a higher temperature when you go out. Every 2 degrees warmer will save you 10% on your cooling costs. Peeling vegetables. Unless you're procuring winter squash, celery root, or some other food with a tough outer coating, there's no reason to waste precious before-dinner time peeling vegetables, reports Kitchen.com. That goes for foods you may have been peeling all your life, such as carrots, cucumbers, potatoes, and turnips. You'll save time and gain flavor and healthy fiber. Roasting chicken, number 10. It's often cheaper and faster, of course, to buy an already cooked chicken. Costco sells rotisserie chickens for just $4.99 each, an acknowledged money loser designed to get people in the door. At other stores, they're about $7 each on average, while a non-cooked whole roaster typically costs around $8.50 in a supermarket. Treat yourself once a week, and you stand to save as much as $182 annually, not to mention more than 150 hours of cooking. Number 11, sweeping up after your track in dirt. In many countries, it's customary to take off your shoes as soon as you come inside. Adopting a no-shoe policy is an easy way to keep your house cleaner and your family healthier. About 85% of all the dirt in your homes is tracked in on shoes, say the experts at Family Handyman. And that's not the worst of it. According to a study at the University of Houston, more than 26% of shoes carries Clostridioides difficile bacteria, responsible for many cases of stomach distress, into the house. Another small study at the University of Arizona showed that 96% of shoes track in fecal matter. A simple solution is to keep a mat or shoe rack just inside your front door. Number 12, carrying a heavy keychain. Take any extra keys and doodads off your keychain. The weight can wear on your ignition, assuming you will have a car with a key ignition, and cause it to stall. In fact, millions of General Motors cars were recalled for this problem. And that was the first advice owners received. Filing all your bills, number 13. Sure, you'd like to skip the bills altogether, but getting statements electronically instead of on paper means you'll have less clutter and therefore will spend less time sorting, filing, and shredding. Some companies will even give you a financial bonus or discount for going paperless. Ask your bank, utilities, and credit card issuers whether they'll pay you to sign up for e-statements and automatic payments, which save you even more time. Number 14, and paying them by check. If you're going paperless with statements, why not do the same with payments? Most banks offer online bill paying options, or you can pay companies directly. State-of-the-art encryption technologies to keep your personal information safe, as long as you use a secure internet network, not a public Wi-Fi. Number 15, stocking up on light bulbs. Compared with incandescent bulbs, LED bulbs last far longer and use about 75% less energy, which translates directly into smaller electric bills. The latest generation of energy-saving bulbs give off excellent light and fire up quickly. The best bargain bulbs, according to Business Insider, is the TCB 9-watt LED 60-watt equivalent, a 19 non-dimmable light bulb which cost about $2. And batteries. Number 16. According to Wirecutter, it takes more than 15 disposable batteries to equal the power you get from one rechargeable battery. Yes, rechargeables cost more. The best, according to Wirecutter's test, is the Energizer Recharge Universal, which costs about $2.25. But they will pay for themselves after about 5 charges. And be sure to recycle used battery. It's safer, as dead batteries might still carry enough charge to create a spark and a fire hazard. And in some states, recycling is the law. Find out where and how to dispose of them at call, and this is one word, call to recycle, C-A-L-L 2, number 2, recycle.org. Number 17, thawing over frozen food. According to the FDA, your refrigerator temperature should be set at 40 degrees Fahrenheit, 4 degrees centigrade, and your freezer temperature should be 0 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 18 degrees centigrade. Setting the temps any lower won't make your food last longer and will push your electric bill. If your appliance doesn't have a built-in thermometer, buy one at a hardware store. Also, to keep things cool, spread the food around in the fridge and freezer so the air can flow properly. And stop standing there with the door opening. You're letting warm air in and cold air out. Number 18, throwing away leftovers. Speaking of the freezer, anything fresh or cooked can be frozen, according to the food pros at Taste of Home. That includes fresh vegetables as well as cooked eggs and pasta. For information, go to the tasteofhome.com/collection/how-to-freeze-food. Given that Americans typically toss about 40% of the food we buy, you should see a payoff quickly. Don't throw away those peels and scraps either. They can go right into a compost bin or pile instead. Make one at home or find out whether your city or town has a central drop-off location. Number 19, mowing your lawn every week. You'll save time, and your garden will benefit if you cut the grass every other week instead. That's because bees feed on the wide flowers that flourish in less manicured lawns, and then buzz off to pollinate the flowers and other plants in your garden. Another good reason to mow less often, too short grass tends to dry out and turn brown, which can lead to extra watering. Mow grass to a height of about 3 inches, says the experts in Consumer Reports. Also, grass grows fastest in the late spring and early summer, says family handyman turf pro Joe Churchill, so skip fertilizing then. Number 20, plugging into power strips. Many are simply extension cords with multiple sockets. What you want is a surge protector, which looks like a power strip, but is designed to shut off if it's overloaded or if the current exceeds a certain level. Look for the label UL1449. To make sure you are buying a model certified safe by the underwriter's laboratories. Or an electrician can install a whole house surge protector device in your electrical panel. How now, cow? Dairy scientists in Connecticut have begun using a robotic system that allows cows to decide for themselves when they want to be milked. When a cow is good and ready, she walks into the milking stall. A robotic arm attaches a cup to her teat and begins milking. Sound weird? Maybe, but there's another advantage. Old-fashioned milking procedures can take 3 to 5 hours a day to get the job done. The robots do it less than an hour. 21 Smart Speaker Superpowers. And since many of our visually impaired listeners use smart speakers, it's important to have this information. Virtually unheard of as recently as 5 years ago, smart speakers could one day be as common as the microwave. As of early 2019, a third of U.S. homes with high-speed internet access had at least one such device, according to the market research firm Parks Associates. But that's not to say that people who own a smart speaker are all getting their money's worth. Chances are that most consumers use only a fraction of the wizardy smart speakers can provide. Those Sense voice assists such as Alexa, Google Assistant, and Siri. If you don't brush up on the new commands, your smart speaker can end up being a very expensive oven timer. We're here to help whether you own an Amazon Echo, Google Home, Apple HomePod, or any other brand of smart speaker. Here's a list of surprising and useful things it can do. Just remember that using one can require a little patience, especially with tasks that involve a mobile app. Start your time management. Start your day off right. Why settle for an alarm when you can wake up to a favorite song on your music streaming service? On Amazon, Alexa woke me up at 6 a.m. to Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. On Google, okay Google, set an alarm for 6 a.m. that plays the Beatles. Apple's HomePod doesn't offer this option. Ditch your grocery list. That smudge sheet of paper stuck to the fridge door is so 2016. On Amazon, say, Alexa, add sugar to the shopping list, and each item you mentioned is noted in the mobile app on your phone. On Apple and Google, use the same commands, subbing, Hey Siri, or OK Google, for Alexa, of course. Get to work on time. It's hard to move up the ladder when you're stuck in traffic, but if your smart speaker knows your home and work address, it can alert to your jams before you leave the house. On Amazon, Alexa, what's my commute look like? On Apple, Hey Siri, what's the traffic like getting to work? On Google, OK Google, how long is my commute? Plan your travel. A smart speaker can tell about the attractions, local weather, and hotel accommodations at your destination. Amazon and Google also offer a third-party apps from Kayak and Expedia, respectively, that give details on flight arrivals and departures and will even book rooms as via voice commands. On Amazon, Alexa, open Kayak. On Google, OK Google, let's talk to Expedia. Health and wellness. Watch your diet. Want a snack? First, let a speaker advise you on calorie counts and other nutritional info. On Amazon, Alexa, how many calories are in a banana? On Apple, Hey Siri, how many calories are in an ounce of cheddar cheese? On Google, okay Google, how many calories are in a Big Mac? Remember your meds. Name the date, time, and task, and a speaker will remind you to complete it. On Amazon, start with a simple Alexa, create a new reminder, and the device will prompt you for details. But all three speakers can field more complex commands. On Apple, Hey Siri, remind me at 6 p.m. tomorrow to take my blood pressure medicine. On Google, okay Google, remind me to take my vitamins after every day at 8 a.m. Find your bliss. In 10 minutes or less per day, via Amazon or Google, you can do free guided meditations led by soft-spoken former Buddhist monk Andy Prudicombe, co-founder of the digital health company Headspace. On Amazon, Alexa, open Headspace. On Google, OK Google, open Headspace. Hear soothing sounds. Amazon and Google offer a range of ambient sounds, from white noise to a crackling fireplace to a babbling brook. On Amazon, Alexa, help me sleep. On Google, OK Google, help me relax. News and entertainment. Stay informed. It's easy to request a briefing on the day's headlines from your favorite media outlets, including Consumer Reports. On Amazon, using the Alexa app on your smartphone, select your preferred source from ABC News to the Wall Street Journal by going to Settings and Flash Briefing, Add Content. Then say, Alexa, play my flash briefing. To get the update on Apple, Hey Siri, play news from NPR. On Google, OK Google, what's the latest in business? Check your nest egg. Money talks, and so does your smart speaker. Think of it as the modern stock ticker on Amazon. Alexa, what's the Disney stock price? On Apple, Hey Siri, how's the stock market doing today? On Google, okay Google, what did IBM close at? Get the scores. In addition to delivering sports updates, a smart speaker can answer questions about team schedules, league standings, and stats. On Amazon, Alexa, what's the score of the Cubs game? On Apple, Hey Siri, what baseball games are on? On Google, okay Google, who are the Warriors playing next? Buy movie tickets. A smart speaker can provide info on the films and showtimes in local theaters. Amazon also helps you purchase tickets via AdamTickets.app. On Amazon, Alexa, launch Adam Tickets. help around the house. Get a kitchen assistant. Remember the days when you had to flip through a cookbook to convert a cup of milk into ounces? Now you can just ask the smart speaker on Amazon, Alexa, how many ounces in a cup? On Apple, hey Siri, convert 2 cups to ounces. On Google, okay Google, how many pints are in a quart? Decide who's on dish duty. Any verdict that can be decided with a coin toss can be delivered by a smart speaker. Just say the wake words and then flip a coin. The speaker will respond with heads or tails. Have a big family? Try roll the dice. Find your phone. Instead of searching high and low for your missing smartphone, ask the speaker to give it a ring. On Amazon, Alexa, find my phone. On Apple, hey Siri, where's my iPhone? On Google, okay Google, ring my phone. Find a plumber. All 3 speakers provide the names and phone numbers of local service providers. Just say Alexa or OK Google and find me a plumber. If you ask Siri for a good plumber, you get suggestions with 5-star ratings on Yelp. Amazon picks come via Yelp and Yext. And Google's picks are approved by Home Builder Advisor and Porch. Order a pizza. Amazon can have a pie delivered to your home from nearby Domino's, Papa John's, or Pizza Hut. Google Home users have to go with Domino's. On both speakers, you have to set up an online account with the vendor, then enable the app on the speaker, which can be tricky. To Amazon, Alexa, open Pizza Hut. On Google, okay Google, talk to Domino's. Just for fun, take a quiz. Like trivia, Amazon will ask you 6 questions a day from Jeopardy. Google has a fast-packed game for its own to 5 people, but it's hosted by Google Assistant instead of Alex Trebek. Apple, sorry, no such luck. On Amazon, hey Alexa, play Jeopardy. On Google, okay Google, play Lucky Trivia. Hear a joke. Smart speakers are always quick with corny jokes. All you have to do is ask. Jimmy Fallon even delivers some of the lines for Amazon. And don't be afraid to request popular genres. Think light bulb jokes. On Amazon, Alexa, tell me a golf joke. On Apple, hey Siri, tell me a knock-knock joke. On Google, okay Google, tell me a dad joke. Tune your strengths. Although they're not always spot on, Amazon and Google offer pitches to help you tune guitars, violins, cellos, and yes, ukuleles. On Amazon, Alexa, open the ukulele tuner. On Google, okay Google, play an F sharp. Announce dinner. Amazon and Google let you make announcements via every compatible speaker in the house. On Amazon, Alexa, announce that dinner is ready. On Google, okay Google, broadcast that it's dinner time. Protect your privacy. If keeping a speaker with a microphone in your home makes you uneasy, you have reason to be. Amazon, Apple, and Google all collect recorded snippets of consumer commands to improve their voice computing technology. But they also offer ways to mute the mic when it's not in use. The Amazon Echo has an on-off button on top of the device. The Google Home mute button is on the back. And Apple's HomePod requires a voice command, "Hey Siri, stop listening." You then use a button to turn the device back on. For a third-party speaker, consult the owner's manual for instructions. Choosing smart. How do you decide which smart speaker best fits your need? Our tester have found little difference in how well each model hears and responds to voice commands. That's only one small part of the purchasing decision. Consider these key points on digital ecosystems, listening standards, and price. Alexa or Siri or Google Assistant. The Alexa universe is flush with speaker options, including models by Bose and Sansui, third-party apps, and Amazon-related shopping and contents. The Amazon Echo is $100, but I can testify that those are sometimes on sale. Siri's app and speakers options are more limited, but Apple's HomePod is designed to integrate easily with the 50-million-song Apple Music Library. The Apple HomePod costs $300. Speakers with Google Assistant top the tech giant's formidable search capabilities, an email calendar, mapping and music and video streaming services. The Google Home is only $80. Make a sound choice. If you want a speaker with high-quality sound, choose carefully. Until recently, the pickings were slim. But the Google Home Max at $270 got very good ratings. Home Max has raised its standard, delivering for better audio than most models. The Bose Home Speaker 500 and the Sonos One, both. Bose Home Speakers are $500 is $400. Alexa compatible. Both are Alexa compatible and also sound great. And the Sonos One can be wirelessly added to the manufacturer's multi-room systems. And the Sounds One is $200. Consider low-cost solutions. The Amazon Echo Dot uses and Google Home Mini, both priced at $30, have limited sound quality, but they perform as well as their pricier siblings when it comes to the smarter part. Better yet, they can pair with a regular wireless speaker, say a model from Denison's Hios line, to provide smart skills to a speaker that has great audio. The Amazon Echo Dot for $30 and the Google Home Mini for $30. The brave new world of grocery shopping. It's not unusual for Michelle Biffs of Truesville, Alabama, to grocery shop for three households at once. While stocking up for her husband and herself, she could also be buying for her 73-year-old mother-in-law, who lives 10 miles away, and making sure her youngest daughter, a college student, has healthy food in her apartment fridge. Smith's juggling tool is Shipt, that's S-H-I-P-T, an online app-based delivery service that lets her order groceries from Target and other chains. The $99 annual fee is worth it, she says, because it gives you time to do other things. Dale Clark of Bartsville, Oklahoma, shaves time off his shopping trips, but avoids the fees by using Walmart's free grocery pickup service. Twice a week, he orders on his smartphone, waits for a ready text, then drives to a designated parking area where a Walmart staffer loads his car. Compared to going to the store and picking up things I didn't expect to buy, or trying to find where they moved something, he says it's a time and money saver. Changing lifestyles. The way Americans shop for groceries is changing fast. So fast that traditional weekly trips to the market may reach an expiration date, just like milk. In the past year alone, several supermarket chains, including Aldi, Cub Foods, Food Lion, Price Chopper, Publix, Schnucks, Tops, and Wegmans, extended the opportunity for their shoppers to order groceries remotely and then pick them up at curbside. Walmart expanded its version of this click-and-collect device. So did Target and Whole Foods Market. Home delivery of fresh food is growing fast, too. By year-end, Walmart plans to double the number of stores that offer the service to 1,600. It uses its own workers to shop for orders and employs services like DoorDash, Postmates, and Skipcart to deliver them. Target acquired the Shipt delivery service in late 2017 to bring its products to customers' doors. Amazon Prime Amazon Prime Now, that's the title, Now, members in at least 75 metropolitan areas can now get fresh food from Whole Foods Market delivered in as little as an hour. And Costco members now have the option to order the same-day delivery of fresh food via Instacart. Clearly, there's an appetite for new ways to food shop. Google searches for grocery delivery rose nearly 40% between May 2018 and May 2019, and increased nearly sixfold for grocery pickup. While only 7% of Consumer Report members surveyed in the summer of 2018 told us they've used a grocery delivery service, 16% said they'd like to. Target's acquisition of Shipt could help make that possible. CR members raised Shipt tops among the six competitors in its first-ever comprehensive rating of grocery delivery services. Consumers are finding more time-saving tools and programs in stores, as well as in some Kroger's and Sam's Clubs. Members can use an app to scan each item they put in their carts, then skip checkout entirely by using a payment method uploaded to their phone. Amazon expanded its Amazon Go convenience stores beyond the pilot stage, and now has 12 of them in 4 states. Consumers activate an app that's linked to the payment method of their choice. The app tracks their movement and choices and speeds them out the door while extracting a payment, all without scanning a barcode or requiring a cashier. Grocery apps are evolving to help people shop faster and eat better. The out-of-milk grocery list app, for instance, lets shoppers use their phones to scan barcodes of products at home, automatically adding them to an e-shopping list to be used at a store. Kroger's Opt Up program steers app users towards food lower in saturated fat, sugar, and other ingredients. Consumer Reports' latest consumer experience study of grocery apps found that users were generally pleased with how they create and manage shopping lists, apply coupons and discounts, navigate in-store to find items, and plan for shopping trips. Adventures in the aisles. Companies are trying to streamline shopping for people who still venture into stores while also making it an occasion to browse, graze, and splurge. The strategy is succeeding for the top-rated retailers in Consumer Reports' rating of 96 groceries. Six excel for overall satisfaction. Texas-based Central Market, Wegmans in the East, Heinen's in Ohio, and the Chicago area, Gelson's Market in Southern California, Market Basket in New England, and the national chain Trader Joe's all focus on providing a satisfying in-store experience. They haven't been to Trader Joe's on a Sunday morning with 14,000 other people. The Heineken's in downtown Cleveland, for instance, located in a renovated bank building and a stained glass dome ceiling, has become the upscale lunch and after-work destination for dining and relaxing with a glass of Chardonnay. At Central Market's 10 stores, where the slogan is "Really into food," customers attend cooking classes, health fairs, and festivals and themes like chocolate or chili, and listen to live music while dining on prepared foods in a cafe. "The quality and flavors are better than I found anywhere else," says Don Rebezamen, who particularly enjoys the tortillas at the Central Market near his Dallas home. In perhaps the perfect confluence of indulgence and convenience, Gelson's offers a surrogate called Sip and Shop at 11 stores. While you relax at a store's wine bar, a Gelson's employee will do your grocery shopping for you at no extra charge. Sometimes it's the quality of the store brand items that carry the grocer's name that propels shoppers into a store. The cost of those private label products, which are often made at the same plants as their name brand counterparts, use similar ingredients and recipes and can be 20 to 25% less, says Bert Flickinger III, managing director of the Strategic Resources Group in New York, a retail consulting company. Often, though, shoppers are drawn to the store brand items unique to a retailer. On Central Market's Facebook page, for example, a post about retailer's small batch ice cream in flavors like coconut, ginger, and chili pepper, pecan, drew rapturous responses. The future of food shopping. In this mix of pleasure and efficiency that will inform the design of future grocery stores, says Phil Lampert, CBO of Consumer Insight, a supermarket industry consultant, and founder of the website Supermarket Guru. New stores will be smaller than they are now, with all but display items moved off the shelves to warehouses and style back rooms. He says, robots will pick and pack pre-ordered items, while shoppers roam in stores sampling from displays of fresh produce, baked goods, locally made products, and freshly prepared foods. Aldi is a harbinger, Lemper notes. With about 2,000 stores, mainly east of the Mississippi, it has a following for its smaller footprint and selection of well-priced packaged goods, many of them private label. It recently upped its offerings by fresh produce by 40%. Giant food stores, Hy-Vee, Meijer, and Publix have opened similar smaller-scale stores within the last year. That's the new model, Semper says. You build relationships with consumers by having a store that satisfies their needs and aligns with their values. That's how people are going to shop. Can you trust a stranger to shop for your food? We wanted to know, given the growth of online and app ordering, whether grocery delivery services selected unblemished potatoes, jewel-like cherries, and dairy with far-off sell-by dates. Would groceries arrive promptly, not properly packed? So we conducted a limited evaluation of Shipt, Amazon Prime, Now, Instacart, Peapod, Fresh Direct, Amazon Fresh, and Walmart. For the latter, the deliveries were handled by the DoorDash, the service that Walmart selected. In mid-April, a CR staffer ordered groceries to be delivered to homes in New York, New Jersey, and California. All 14 orders were to include skinless and boneless chicken breast, ground beef, packaged bread, milk, a carton of eggs, and deli-sliced American cheese. That's in addition to fruit, salad, canned and jarred food items, and a hefty jug of chlorine bleach. None of deliveries arrived more than 10 minutes outside the stated delivery time window. Upon delivery, we checked the temperature of the perishables, inspected the condition of the groceries, checked all the sell-by dates, and noted how the items were packed. Here's what we found. Perishable seems to be within safe temperature ranges. The chicken and beef arrived with internal temperatures between 35.8 degrees and 6.2 degrees Fahrenheit, 56.2 degrees Fahrenheit. Surface temperatures for the cheese and eggs and milk ranges from 40 degrees to 59.4 Fahrenheit. The Department of Agriculture states perishable foods should be refrigerated at 42 degrees Fahrenheit within 2 hours of shopping, 1 hour if the air temperature is above 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Tip. With deliveries, you don't know how long food might have been above 40 degrees, says Sarah Muhold, manager of the Food Safety Research at CR. So make sure someone is available to receive perishables and refrigerate them as soon as possible. The food was fresh for the most part. Most of the strawberries, green grapes, bananas, mixed greens, and eggs we received appeared to be fresh and in good condition. But some bananas, strawberries, and grapes arrived squished or with minor brown spots, and a few strawberry containers leaked or looked underfilled. A box of grapes from Peapod arrived with several blooms of white puffy mold. Peapod didn't respond to our request for comment. A carton of eggs from Walmart delivered on April 23rd had a Best Buy date of March 22nd. Raw eggs generally can sit in the refrigerator for 3 to 5 weeks. Walmart didn't respond to our request for comment. Tip. Order from a grocer with a high rating for its fresh produce. Seek a redress if you're not satisfied with the service. Offer a refund if the service offers a refund, a replacement, or a credit voucher. Package quality varied. Fresh Direct padded its groceries the most, wrapping bananas in foam and swaddling a jar of pasta sauce in paper straw. It sent groceries in sturdy woven plastic bags with handles. In analyzing our limited data, we found that the types of delivery box or bag used didn't correlate with grocery temperatures, but some groceries didn't bother to put raw meat and chicken in their own plastic bags to prevent leakage and cross-contamination. Tip. If there's space for special instructions in your order, if you can communicate with your shopper through text or chat, specify which item you want packaged separately. Discounts and promotion reduce delivery pricing. We save money by taking advantage of promotions and meeting minimum orders. Tip. Avail yourself of free trial memberships and seasonal discounts. An annual membership to Instacart Express, Fresh Direct Delivery Press, and Shipt will give you money over monthly memberships or non-member rates. You may be able to avoid delivery fees by ordering at least the minimum order, typically $35. Use the Deliver Services app to search for promotions and apply them to your delivery. If the service in the grocery store aren't the same, use or Instacart delivery of your groceries. You'll need to enter your Kroger membership info into the Instacart app to apply the maximum discount. Be flexible about delivery times. Some services give a discount or charge a premium depending on the day or length of delivery window chosen. We found that if we were willing to wait 5.5 hours instead of choosing period typically 2-hour window, we could save $4. Delivery items can cost more. Instacart and independent delivery service said that the retailers it deals with may charge more for delivered items from what they would charge in a store. Walmart, and on the other hand, says the price of its delivered groceries and its groceries through its Kroger pickup service are the same as in the store prices. Costco members can get fresh food delivered through Instacart without having to pay the $90 Instacart Express annual fee, assuming the order is at least $35. But in a shopping experiment conducted late last year, we found Costco member pricing on delivered grocery items, including fresh salmon, blueberries, avocados, eggs, milk, and its famous rotisserie chicken, was 31% higher on average than what it charged members in its warehouse. Amazon Prime now beat Amazon Fresh. When we ordered Amazon Fresh was the only service that appeared to have every item in the exact size we wanted. But inexplicably, in the actual delivery, the Amazon Fresh shopper substituted the mixed salad greens we'd ordered with cooked organic beets without contacting us beforehand. We had no such problem with lower-priced Amazon Prime. Now it's included in Amazon Prime's annual membership, which ranges from $59 for students to $119 for most others. There's no extra fee for deliveries of $35 or more. It's available in dozens of cities nationwide and delivers groceries from the Whole Foods Market, which is owned by Amazon. Depending on where you live, you may also be able to get deliveries from other local stores and restaurants. Amazon Fresh, which is available only in 15 major cities, costs $15 per month above the annual Amazon Prime membership. There are no additional delivery fees for individual Amazon Fresh orders over $35. It delivers groceries only from Amazon Fulfillment Centers, although in our experiment, an Amazon Fresh delivery included organic spring mix salad in a container marked Whole Foods. Amazon Fresh was the lowest rated service in our CR ratings of grocery delivery services and received low market tips for pricing. Tips: for delivered groceries from Whole Foods Market, use Amazon Prime Now, which was among the top rated in our services. And let's close out with a couple items from the road report. Ahead of the curve, safer headlights. Adaptive driving beam ADB headlights, readily available on Canada and Europe, could make driving at right in the U.S. safer, according to the report from AAA. The study shows that ADB headlights can allow drivers to see as far as traditional high beams do, but without having to switch from low beams and without added glare that could diminish visibility for other drivers. Says Jennifer Stockberger, who oversees CR headlight testing in October, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration proposed changing its standards to allow ADB headlights, a move that CR supports. But if they do become available, they won't be cheap. The ADB headlights AAA tested cost as much as $6,600 more than traditional headlights. A car that has your name on it. Based on data from the Social Security Administration on names given to babies in 2018, it appears that some people love certain auto brands so much that they name their children after them. But just because a brand's name is popular doesn't mean its vehicles are top performers. To find out which ones, you can always rely on CR's auto ratings based on rigorous testing and extensive surveys. And the names are Audi, Bentley, Chevy, Ford, Kia, and Tesla. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, which is now NCReadingService.org. That's versus the Triangle Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks for listening.